We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A really good team. That's it. A really good team. Not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here? That's okay. Pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have. And I'm see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way. And that way's worked for us all year long. I think, I just get to be me here. I get to call it how I see it. Nobody takes it personally. You don't have to worry about anybody trying to control me. As it was said, people was trying to do over there. But I have no hard feelings towards any of those players, anybody in that organization. I'm glad to be where I am. As you can tell, it's worked out. And that's where I leave it. I knew what we could do here. We added some key pieces in the middle of the year, and we are where we are. So I don't really look back at it too much. I got to stay focused in on the right now and with the group that I have.
All right, that was Jimmy Butler taking a little shot at Philadelphia. Not a big one, but he got a little jab in there about how that thing worked out, and here I am. He's got to feel pretty good, though. Like, he knows what his reputation is.
Of course.
In different teams, you know, and the Minnesota thing was bizarre. It was bizarre. It was bizarre for him, and you know, the two young guys apparently didn't want to get better and didn't want to do it the way he wanted to do it, and he was bothered by that. Philadelphia thing, he just kind of came in there as a piece, and then now to have his own team and the way he's playing, it's got to be pretty gratifying for him right now, right? I mean, this has got
to
be.
Of course, right. Look where he got to, Joe. It's first time in his career. It's in the finals, and he's been labeled by how many other guys, whether it was media or even other players who just didn't respect him or just didn't like him, maybe just didn't like him as a teammate.
So
who knows?
I think they respect Zach. It's interesting. I think they respect him because he's a good player and he plays hard both ways. So you can't get mad at a guy who plays the game old school.
Of course, right.
It takes as much pride in defending as he does scoring, and he's the ultimate team guy. It's kind of hard to dislike that guy. I think the problem is when he tells guys what they don't want to hear. Like,
okay,
dude,
right,
you haven't done anything. Just because you can score, you suck at the other end. You don't work hard. And then the other part is it's how you tell people that. And I'm guessing
delivery, right.
What Jimmy Butler's been through, he wasn't always really, you know, understanding. Like, the guy grew up, I mean, his story is tough, man. So for anybody that's like, well, you know, nobody's ever talked to me that way. Well, Jimmy Butler's grown up a little bit differently. He's going to talk to your ass that way. He wasn't a top five pick in a draft. And where money's been flowing in the whole time. He's had, you know, from not getting scholarships to going to junior college. He's had the tough road. So I think he got a little different. I'm just guessing from what
people
told me.
Well, he doesn't sugarcoat it. Right, he doesn't sugarcoat it.
And listen, Jimmy Butler's a little different with the media guys, too. They're, you know, it hasn't been easy on the thing. He's different. Not the fans care, because all they care about is he kicks ass during games. And his story, and I'm sure we're going to hear it during this final series, and everything he's been through. But, yeah, I just don't think he's got a lot of time to be kissing guys' asses just because they were first-round picks. And these guys have bought in on it. Like, Jimmy, is that the way you want me to play? Yeah, that's it, man. Take that shot. Are you sure, Jimmy? No, man, you're playing great. I see you're trying really hard on defense, man. That's all I – and so he's got a bunch of guys along with he and UD and Iguodala. I just think there's a lot of respect on that team and the way they play. And Jimmy Butler looks, for maybe the first time in his career, I can't answer when he first got to Chicago and, you know, got his career going. But this got to feel really good, man, for the way he's doing it. He's playing with a bunch of guys. He always praises Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and the culture and doing it the right way. And we're having fun. And, oh, by the way, for all the people who thought that I was a malcontent and the problem, kiss my ass. Right. I'm going to the finals while you guys have been – some of you didn't even make it to the bubble, by the way. Some of those teams didn't even make it to the bubble that he was on. So it's been a hell of a story, man. It really has.
But his relationship with the other players on this team, like you said, I think his relationship with Goran is the best. Those two guys are like a comedy act outside of the games. Like they're always hanging out together. They're always doing stuff. I think that's the best thing about this team right now. And you look back at Jimmy's other teams where there was always something wrong in the locker room. There was always something wrong with individual players. You just don't have that here. And maybe that's an oddity because maybe it happens on all the rest of the teams around the league, but we just don't hear about it. If there is, we don't hear about it.
Well, we've had Dion Waiters was a problem.
But he was away from the team. Remember that. They sent him away basically from the team.
But he
didn't
back.
Practice, nothing.
Same,
yeah.
But same stuff popped up. He came back and he said, you know, anybody can win with the big three. He took shots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dion Waiters is gone as soon as they get a chance. They're letting his ass go. The other guy came in, worked his way off of not the body fat test and the weight test, and he didn't pass, you know, and they got rid of him too. So they find a way, you know, and they always make it, hey, we're going to give him another chance. He's a good player. You guys don't understand. And you're going, no, you don't, Pat. You ain't letting that guy stay around. They're not part of the culture, man. Soon as they came in heavy, they weren't part of the culture. Like, they had all those months to get their weight ready to go, and they didn't pass. They didn't pass that test knowing how important that is to Pat Riley and the Heat culture. Right. That kind of kicks it off, right? The conditioning, sure. The weight, and the body fat test. God, thank God we don't have to do any of that stuff. But right there, they were in the doghouse. Like, okay, you better keep your mouth shut, and you better get there because – one thing about Riley, you don't get to sit around and watch and get on a stationary bike. He makes those guys leave. They got to go get in shape somewhere else. I mean, it's just.
Remember, Dion was practicing by himself. Like, he would go into the gym by himself. He wouldn't even be around the team at that time when that whole thing was happening with him. When they would go into practice in the gym, he'd be in the weight room. When they'd go into the weight room, he'd be in the gym. He doesn't keep that. That's just how the Heat does it.
There might not be another team in the NBA
that handles situations like Miami does, right?
Yep, and gets away with it.
Yeah,
and is able to get away with it. I just think it's old school. It's amazing. It's not for everybody. I keep thinking about Charles Barkley's comments, like I could never play for the Heat because they practice too hard. He said that over and over, and I was like, you're right. Like, I get that. I think he was saying that on behalf of a lot of guys, man. Like, I don't want to practice that hard when we're not playing and go through those damn – Riley / Spoelstra practices that they go through. I mean, that again is part of the culture. Stay in nice places, fly nicely, the best food, but we're going to work. We're going to work, and we got to win, and that's all part of this thing. Listen, man, it's going to be great tonight. We'll find out game one, the whole thing with LeBron and AD and the rest of those guys and the matchups tonight. And
you couldn't have asked for a better storyline, right? I mean, if the Clippers would have made it, if the Rockets would have made it, if Denver would have made it to play the Heat in this, it would have been fun because the Heat are in the finals. But tonight when you look on that court and coming out in a Lakers jersey is going to be LeBron. Like, you could not have asked for a better movie kind of ending to all this.
Well, we got that. We got baseball at 2 o'clock today, if you're wondering. Marlins game one against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. For their story and see if they can win this series. And listen, they got a bunch of good arms. I'm dying to see how Mattingly is going to use all these guys, all these great arms that he has, these young arms, and see what see how they handle everything. That should be really, really fun to watch as well.
All 16 baseball playoff teams play today. There's 8 games today.
Wow.
From literally noon, and then the last game, first pitch, Dodgers, Brewers, 10 p.m.
Can anybody tell me the last time we had two of our professional teams playing playoffs at the same time? Oof. Not to like same day. We've had two of our 4 teams. We've had years in the past where none of our 4 teams made the playoffs, or usually it was the Heat making it and the other 3 teams didn't make it. And now we got the Marlins and their great story after everything they've been through, and really is. And I understand baseball's not as popular as the basketball team, especially just getting into the playoffs versus a team that's now in the finals.
Right.
But it's a hell of a story, man. It really has been great. We got to go to break. We'll come back. We're gonna have John Kreider. We'll check in on the text machine. I may be here. I may not be. But I'm always working to be with you, man. 305-567-0560. We'll be right back.
All right, Joe. We're gonna give people a chance to see a Dolphins game. 560 to Joe wants people to go see a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to finscu.com. And if you want a chance to win those Dolphin tickets, log on right now to WQAM.com. The home of the Dolphins is AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, the Joe, WQAM, streaming on radio.com.
All right, man, we appreciate that. Anytime you got a chance to win some tickets, especially some good games coming up at Hard Rock Stadium, that's really, really cool. Zach, 305-567-0560. What do we got coming in on the text machine before we get to John Crotty to talk some Heat basketball, break down some X's and O's and pretty shows?
Pretty shows. God, I'm glad you changed that. Besides the obvious defeating LeBron and Riley's old team, for this Heat team, this would be a win over one of the most iconic classic NBA franchises. We beat newer teams, but a title over the Lakers will be much more special.
That's a great point. Yeah. Great point. Don't disagree.
I think Heat Nation, by the way, Joe, if you look through the text and look through social media, this is the most pumped up I've seen them in a long time, obviously since the Big Three were here, but because of the fact that it's LeBron on the other side, too. I think that has a lot to do with it.
The only sad part about this whole thing, I know everybody brings up, is that we're going through this COVID-19 and these arenas aren't jam-packed with people going crazy, because this team is really easy to fall. I fall in love real easily, and I'm the first. I love you, and this team's easy to fall in love with.
Yeah, very easy at this point. Heat Nation getting pumped up to see Game 1 win tonight. Let's go. That's another text that came in. Just another interesting tidbit somebody sent in. The Heat beat the Pacers 4-0, beat Milwaukee 4-1, beat the Celtics 4-2. That's right. If everything works out, you're going to beat the Lakers 4-3. We're going 7, boys. And side prediction, Hero has grown every series. He's going to average more than 20 points and be MVP of the finals. How about that?
By the way, if that happens, that kid's, his life will change.
Oh, my goodness.
If they win it and Tyler Hero ends up averaging 20-something points a game at 20 years old, his life will change. Good-looking kid. Instagram model could be in trouble if that happens. She could be... She'd be looking for another NBA player.
Well, she found the if that happens, she found the Finals MVP. She hit the, you know, the she hit it. All right.
Did I see? I don't know if this is true. Did I see the Lakers? And I haven't looked it up. The Lakers and the Heat have the same record in the bubble. I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know. Anyway, that. Yeah. What? Let's see. Remember, Joe? Remember that snowplow idiot was on work release from prison? Go figure. The Cheatriots have always been the cheaters. Neil and Duluth.
Right. By the way, and that was way before Belichick. I'll guarantee you that coach after the game got his ass chewed for that. I wasn't around, and it was a long time ago, and I don't remember because I was running to get out of that friggin' snowstorm with the wind blowing. But I will guarantee you Coach Shula did not sprint in the locker room, that he went over and told that coach that he wasn't real happy about what they just did. Right. You do it for one team, you do it for both teams.
Here's two on the Seattle Dolphin game, Joe. Someone said, did I hear you say the Finns have a chance versus Seattle? What the hell are you smoking, Joe? And right afterwards says, hey, Joe, I got to go with the Dolphins on Sunday, 27-14 over Seattle. Two texts back-to-back, totally opposite opinions.
Yeah, I think they got a chance to win, man. I do. I know nobody wants to hear it. Listen, they're ahead of Buffalo, and they couldn't stop the passing game. They caught back up. So I think they're going to be able to score. The problem is going to be on the other end and slowing down maybe the best player in football, one of the best players off to a great start right now. But there's no reason to think that they can't have a chance to win this game.
Right.
I don't know if it wants to hear it.
It's not like of course not.
This is not the same start as last year, man.
No way. Are you kidding? What were we talking about this time last year, Joe? That this could be the worst team in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, the roster. After three games? Are you kidding? Let's see. Joe is very personal. I hope the Jets do get blown out tomorrow. Gase destroys teams. I don't even like the Jets, but I said this would happen to their fans because he did it to us. So forget Adam Gase. Watching Gase games makes me queasy.
You know, it's he doesn't own Queasy. There's
another
coach. No,
that
is
There's Mr.
another.
Philbin. Right.
Yeah, man. Joe owns that. But I would just, like, he just hasn't, like, I'm watching – And Jeff Darlington said this, all the mistakes he made, and you're going, let me grow so it doesn't happen again. You know, I'm getting another chance to be a head coach, shockingly, because and they took him, and he hasn't learned. Like, he's making the same mistakes. It's the same problems with the same kind of players. And you got to be like, when you're a head coach, you got to oversee the whole thing, man.
Of course.
Can't just worry about that. Look down and think, stick your head in your plays that you want to call for a frigging game.
Is there even one Jet player still bought in on Adam Gase? There can't be. If there is, that dude should have his head examined. Those guys are playing for paychecks and just trying not to get injured while doing it.
Well, I didn't think I was going to say this at age 23. I don't know, Sam Darnold, like, is he just...
Doesn't look it, Joe.
I thought he was going to be good. I didn't know if he's going to be great, but I thought he was going to be a really good first-round pick. Yeah. I don't know right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the jury's still out on him for sure at this point. Let's see what else we got here. Talk about buying in early on the ground floor and getting value. How about Tyler's Instagram girlfriend? She bought and snagged a potential MVP for pennies.
Hey. You know what's funny? I just feel like this is just, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way because I'm glad he's happy and he's playing great. He just looks like this is like the greatest thing that's like this girl. He just seems like he's crazy, crazy about her. So I'm happy for him, but I'm not big on that Sharon. Sharon Love in the same profession. And by the way, a lot of guys have done it. Right, hell, we even had a coach start dating a player's wife after they got divorced, and they damn near killed each other.
Jeez, I mean that's just the worst. All right, we're gonna have John Crotty joining us, by the way, here in the next segment coming up. But this is a perfect way to end our text segment today, Joe. You're gonna get a good laugh at this. For all the stuff that's happened on the show today, the Joes are having a rough time of getting cut off a lot, starting from last night, Biden and now Rose.
That's good, man.
That was a perfect way to kind of end it. That's for sure at this point. Oh, my goodness.
They can't have any more of these, right, Zach? Like
there's one next week.
No,
it's the vice president next week.
There's no way. Like
they're going to, Joe. They're going to have at least two more, right? There's three debates.
Like, why would you have any more if the president and a guy wants to be president, like going back and forth? I hope I don't see anything or hear anything about social media about one over the other. I hope you're smarter than that. You can be a homer for your president and who you want to be president all you want. But if you're making comment like your guy
after
kicked ass last night,
right.
You're a dumbass is what you are. Anyway.
Right. That's it. All right, Joe. We're going to end it with John Crotty coming up here. In the next segment, I will remind everyone once again that Joe wants to send you to a Dolphins game at Hard Rock Stadium, courtesy of Dade County Federal Credit Union. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the preferred credit union of the Miami Dolphins. For more info, go to fincu.com. And if you want a chance to win those Dolphin tickets right now, log on to WQAM.com, the home of the Dolphins, is AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2, the Joe, WQAM, and streaming on radio.com. John Crotty, one of the voices for the Heat, going to join us next.
A really good team. That's it. A really good team. Not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here? That's okay. Pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that. Because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and I'm see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way, and that way's worked for us all year long. I think, I just get to be me here. I get to call it how I see it. Nobody takes it personally. You don't have to worry about anybody trying to control me. As it was said, people was trying to do over there. But I have no hard feelings towards any of those players, anybody in that organization. I'm glad to be where I am. As you can tell, it's worked out. And that's where I leave it. I knew what we could do here. We added some key pieces in the middle of the year, and we are where we are. So I don't really look back at it too much. I got to stay focused in on the right now and with the group that I have.
All right, that was Jimmy Butler talking about what's going to happen now NBA Finals-wise for the Miami Heat, and the Lakers starts tonight. And we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to John Crotty about this game and about this series. John, I can't believe we're saying this, and we talked to you a bunch of times over the last month or change. The Heat start the NBA Finals tonight. That's nice to say.
Awesome. Just awesome. Really is. And so excited to see this matchup. I think it's a really interesting matchup. It's right off the top to me, it's a really kind of a clash of styles, with the Heat being, to me, a quicker, maybe smaller ball movement, body movement type driven team versus, a really big, long, athletic Laker team that plays more isolation, type basketball. So I'm really excited to see this matchup.
Hey, John, somebody asked me last night, and I said, man, that's a great question that I don't know, but the zone. Are you better off doing a lot of zone against this Howard Davis, LeBron potential lineup, or are you better playing man-to-man?
Well, look, I think we're going to see zone, Joe. It's a 2-3 zone that the Heat play. And the reason why we're going to see it more often is Anthony Davis and LeBron are the best in the league at getting to the rim. They score the majority of their points at the rim in that restricted area. So the best way to prevent them from getting there is to just put up bodies between them and the rim and just clog the paint. And the 2-3 zone does that. It does a good job of putting, multiple layers between them and the basket. It also, I think, can help the Heat from getting into foul trouble. And that's why Coach Spo has played it in the past, too. But this team's also, I think, too good to just play zone the whole time. They're going to have to mix it up. And that's what we saw against Boston, where it would be a man-to-man and then a zone and then back. And this team also isn't as good a three-point shooting team as Boston is. So, you have to kind of always play the percentages. And I think if the Heat can do a good job of closing down that paint and trying to make certain individuals in particular, keep Anthony Davis or LeBron more out on the perimeter and as a three-point shooters, I think that's a win for the team.
John, does Jimmy Butler have to be the leading scorer for this Heat team for them to win this series? I know that we've talked about in the past about him taking a bigger role or coming out early offensively. But in this series with the two stars on the other team, does he have to do that this series?
So, look, just remember right now, Goran Dragic is the leading scorer of the playoffs, right? And they've gotten this far. So it's been a real balanced attack. To your point, I think Jimmy needs to be the most aggressive Heat player looking for a shot. He doesn't, always do that. What he'll do is, try to get others going and others activated. I think, he needs to shoot the basketball, somewhere in that 18, 20 times a game. And he has to draw fouls while he's doing that. And that's what he's done very well throughout the course of the regular season and into the playoffs. Because when he gets to the free throw line, it's just a real positive thing for Miami. It gets them points. and they can get back and set their defense, and they kind of break up the game very well that way, where if the other team's trying to push pace, getting to that free throw line just slows the game down a bit, which is more, I think, conducive to the way they like to play. But this is going to need to be a multiple, player type attack. I mean, the Heat's strength to me is their balance on the offensive end and their depth. Multiple guys that can score and are going to have to score, I think, for them to be successful.
Hey, John, I didn't realize till they brought up last night, Iguodala and Butler have been the best at defending LeBron man-to-man. And we got both guys. Is that just going to be a two-man rotation of when they go man, it's most likely going to be one of those two? Would you see it that way?
No, it's a great point, Joe. And it's, you know, LeBron is historically, and he's 35 now. He's been, probably the most difficult player to defend in the entire league over the stretch of his career. And the Heat are blessed to have, not just the guys you mentioned, but Jay Crowder too, who, he and Andre Iguodala, Jimmy, they're 6'6", 6'7", 230-ish, 235-ish pounds. So you have that combination of size, strength, and yet quickness to be able to, try to stay in front of LeBron, who's about 6'8", 250, right? So it's a pretty, good, deep position for Coach Spo to be able to put different guys on him. I think as good as he is, that's a really good situation for Miami. I think the tougher matchup could be Anthony Davis. And who's able to guard, someone who's 6'11", who can step out to the three super comfortable there or go inside with great speed and athleticism. And I think Bam's the answer there. It's just you don't always want to put one of your top, players like Jimmy, for example. You wouldn't start him necessarily on LeBron or Bam maybe on Anthony Davis because you don't want him to pick up cheap early fouls. And then they have to sit down and you've just lost an integral part of your offense. So it's a balancing act. I think we'll see some of the guys you mentioned, and then we'll, the zone mixed in.
You think, John, do you think they go with a bigger lineup? We might see some bigger bodies that we haven't seen in the last round or two play? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think they will. I think that's been, one of their strengths, L.A., is, they have great length and speed and athleticism at that position. JaVale McGee is a guy who can play off of Anthony Davis. So think about that front line that they could put out there with LeBron, 6'8", 250, Anthony Davis, 6'11", 250, 245, and then a JaVale McGee who's 7 feet. And it's hard to get to the rim, too, because they're so long. They have a lot of shot blocking and length in there. And then they also put in Dwight Howard on occasion. They'll throw him in and, again, he's a former, defensive player of the year and a strong rebounder and finisher around the rim. So they have those tools to be able to do that. That'll be, I think, tougher for Miami.
LeBron spoke to the media, as all the players are doing before the finals start in the last day or two. He had a lot of praise for Eric Spoelstra, a lot of praise for Pat Riley. Not surprising, right, that he would come out and talk about those two guys individually and talk about and praise them basically for when his time was here.
Yeah, I heard his comments and I respect the fact that he's doing that, right? I mean, obviously it was not an easy situation when he left, and I think he's saying the right things and he's taking the mature approach. And I think he learned a lot, right? I mean, he won two championships here in Miami in 4 years, went to four finals, learned so much from the organization about, how things are done and to be successful, how to stay, how to keep players accountable. And I think, he realized that even when he left, he won a championship in Cleveland, but it was very hard to do. And, he's taken a lot of those lessons and things that he's learned wherever from Miami, wherever he's gone, and recognize that those things are really what helps the team be successful, as well as himself as a leader. So I think it's really a good situation for him to be able to look back and think about it, and I think it'll make this matchup even that much more fun.
Hey, John, real quickly, just a little follow-up. And he said a lot of nice things, and it was great, and it was nice, and respectful, and I believe him. But don't come out like and get on the media about Eric Spoelstra, bro. You started the party with Eric Spoelstra. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you're the one that bumped into him and went into Riley's office and said, are you coming back and coach again? You ran Stan Van Gundy out of here. You know, like, I need you, man. Mutual respect. You're the guy. And Riley goes, and Dwayne Wade, I think, said, no, man, he's the guy. He kind of left that part out when he was going. See, you're laughing already, John. Like,
I love it when you get all riled up.
I was wrong. I might have been wrong at the start. He was a great coach, but I was a little tough on him when I started myself. Like, come on.
Yeah, look, I mean, they were in the fire together, you know. They were in the fire together, and I think you know, look, that's why you have to respect Eric Spoelstra, too. You know, a lot of these coaches, and I think you know this really well, you know, they don't always get the credit when they have the star players or the talent. And sometimes just that balancing act of having to deal with those personalities and egos and still being able to keep everyone on track to win is harder. And Spo did that. We've seen him, you know, pivot and have to kind of recreate offense and you know, get to a positionless type team and right, where he can, you know, put different bodies and different personalities together. And look at I just feel like he's getting more credit than he's ever gotten, and I think it's just overdue. He's just a really humble guy who, you know, doesn't pound his chest, Spo, and yet you know, this is, you know, arguably his greatest coaching feat ever. And you know, I think, you know, LeBron obviously has to respect that. And I think he's a smart enough basketball player to realize what's being done here in Miami.
Yeah, it's interesting LeBron words the last 24 to 48 hours.
Great stuff, man, for a great player. Right. Yeah.
And the praise was due from him to those guys, and he should, because it's been an interesting dynamic over the last, you know, decade with those three guys all together. Now, I want to go back to a question Joe asked before about the bigs. We've seen Myers Leonard for 9 minutes in this entire playoffs, and Kelly Olynyk's played in 12 games. He hasn't started any, but he played in 12 games. Is Myers Leonard going to be able to just take the rust off in this case if he does get called upon? Because he really has seen 9 minutes in how long? Like, that's all long. He's played nothing in these playoffs.
I know. That's the thing that just, you know, when you're in a true team situation and, you know, you have to keep yourself ready. Right. People say, oh, you make a lot of money, but you're not playing. Well, you become, you know, the insurance policy. You become the guy that has to stay ready and has to perform when called upon. Well, he's going to get called upon. They're going to need every bit of Myers Leonard. They're going to need Kelly Olynyk. They need size. We may see, you know, I got to see what the status of Chris Silva is, but they may need Chris Silva. Because they're going to need guys that can go out there with length and size and be able to battle on the interior against the guys we just talked about, McGee and Howard, you know, Anthony Davis. They're going to have to take fouls. They're going to need to be physical. This is, you know, a situation where Spo's going to have to go, I think, deeper into the bench in that way.
Hey, John, real quickly, just away from this matchup, I always think it's pretty interesting. We find out Steve Ballmer, who Doc Rivers, he let go. His decision let him go after not getting to the finals. But he consulted Kawhi Leonard and Paul George first to make sure. Obviously, the league and the star players have a lot of power. But the other part of it is, I'm guessing he also, would you agree, he also asked those guys, who would you like to coach this team? Would you agree that probably happened too?
You know, I'm sort of old school, Joe. I really don't feel like it's the player's decision to you know, to make those decisions. And I was very surprised at that move, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, Doc Rivers is one of the top 3-4 coaches in the game. You know, to me, he'll be picked up immediately by somebody else.
Right.
And you know, I saw those games. I saw the Clippers and basically, you know, be up 3-1 and completely fall apart. And while I think Doc should shoulder some load, I mean, you got to look at the players in that situation, Paul George in particular. You know, to me, he shouldn't be pointing at any coach. He should be saying, look, this is on me. I'm going to get better. And, you know, that team, I think, in my opinion, that team never seemed to get together in the bubble well. They had constantly coming and going, key parts of their team. And, you know, that's not the coach's fault. So I thought that was strange. And, but look, you know, he was there 7 years. I think they got to 6 playoffs. You know, when, during my era when I was playing, that franchise was one of the most miserable franchises. constantly losing. Yeah. You know, no one really wanted to go there. And, you know, Steve Ballmer, to his credit, has come in, spent an incredible amount of money for that franchise. And they've, along with Doc and, you know, Lawrence Frank, the GM, really have changed the culture and have really brought a lot of talent there. So they have high expectations. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do going forward.
All right, guys. Get me caught up, John, on the plans for you and Eric and everything that's going to be going on tonight. It's going to be really cool for Heat fans.
Yeah, we're excited. We're getting back to our normal platform, which is Fox Sports Sun. We're going to be doing an hour pregame show before the game, which will be on ABC tonight at 9 o'clock. And then we'll do an hour postgame show on Fox Sports Sun. So, look, if you're a Heat fan, we'll give you the down and dirty, and we'll hit everything. We'll talk all the matchups, all the strategy before the game. And then after the game, we get really granular on, you know, specific things that happened in the game and the matchups and what worked and what didn't. So, you know, come check us out tonight. It's great to be back in the finals. Just so pumped to see the series tonight.
Right.
John, great having you always, man. Thank you so much, bud.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, Zach, Joe. Have a good one.
All right. That was John Crotty. We'll be on your coverage tonight on Fox Sports Florida live at 7:30, and then after the game on Fox Sports Sun for all your post-game news.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.